Welcome to Tramlines, a podcast from Agri. I'm your host, Tony Smith, putting your questions to the experts. Today we're talking to Richard Anthony of R&L Anthony Farms near Bridgend in South Wales, George Mills, Area Sales Manager with New Holland, and Amy Watkins, Sustainability Manager at Agri. Using methane to fuel the farm tractor, an opportunity to shape farming's future. How can that help achieve net zero? How do we measure our progress? A dream or reality? Let's find out. So, Richard, if I can start with you, what does farm sustainability really mean for you as a farmer?
Well, everything we're doing now, we're trying to be more sustainable. Everything from the way we grow the crops to the way we manage the hedgerows. It's all about looking at the future. And obviously, one of the things we're looking at is the way we power our tractors.
And Richard, for how long have you been practicing this sustainable way of farming?
A lot of people ask me, how long have we been regen farming? I said, well, probably since before they started calling it regen farming, really. The more I'm learning about the soil biology and the cover cropping, the companion cropping, building the organic levels, the more I realise how little I know. But we're trying to use technology all the time to improve things, and we're always looking at the next thing then.
And what do you think is key to making these changes in the way we farm?
It's understanding. It's getting the knowledge of the understanding of the way that these soils are changing, the way they're improving, how much less we're having to move soil. We're not using insecticides. We're trying to use nature where we can. It's a complete circle, really, what we're doing all the time. It's trying to fill in the gaps, then, if you like.
And Amy, I know that you have some of the facts and figures there. Could you give us some insight as to what has been achieved on Richard's farm?
So we started working with Richard and Lynn and the team back in 2020, looking at trying to understand what all these practices are doing to help them reach net zero. One of Richard's main drivers for doing this and making changes to his soil health is to demonstrate what good farming can do for the environment, and also to help reach carbon neutrality, reach net zero, and reduce their emissions. So we first did our audit back in 2020, where we were really, really pleasantly surprised, and actually not surprised in the way that we know that Richard and the team have been doing a lot to help drive down their emissions over a long period of time. But actually, back in 2020, they were sequestering net across the whole farm minus 20,000 tonnes of carbon dioxide equivalent. So what that means is that anything they're emitting by producing crops, whether that be using fuels, fertilisers, actually sufficiently producing the crop, is offset by the improvements that they've made to their soil health. So by actually trying to drive down their artificial inputs in their crops, for example, nitrogen, I know we've mentioned insecticides as well, but nitrogen is the big emitter in farming systems. So by actually driving down the use of nitrogen fertilizers and replacing that with organic sources, we've seen those improvements to soil health, and therefore that's what's helped us to achieve net zero. And we recently did that carbon audit again across the whole farm in 2022. And simply by making further improvements and measuring the soil carbon over that period of time, we've actually started sequestering even more carbon. So over a period of 3 years, we've remained net zero and actually had more of a positive effect in the way that we're sequestering way more each year than what we're emitting, which is a really, really positive story, I think, to show what work has achieved across the farm.
And Richard, coming back to you, does a more sustainable farm also mean that we can have a profitable farm?
Well, it's got to. We've got to stay, we've got to be profitable. And that's the important bit. And that's number one. We've got to maintain yield or improve yield. And that's key to it. Without that, it's a waste of time. We've got to be profitable.
Amy just mentioned the significant impact of farm-applied nitrogen and insecticides on our carbon footprint. The other area is farm fuels. Richard, what's your view on where you're going to go next with reducing your carbon footprint still further?
Well, methane tractor is the obvious one to look at. And I know it's early days with them yet, but I think there's a real future in the methane tractor.
And Richard, that's really interesting to hear your excitement for a methane-powered tractor. But what would be your source of that methane fuel?
The plant, the food waste plant that we have the digestate from, they've got an expansion plan where the gas will be cleaned up to a standard for road use. So if that's the case, it'll be ideal for us for the tractors. So we need to get that knowledge and learn so that when that happens, that we're ready to switch to methane tractors.
And to help make that happen, Richard, are you working closely with the plant's owners?
Yes, we work very closely with them.
So, George, let's bring you into the conversation here as a representative of New Holland, a tractor and engine manufacturer. Where are we at with the readiness of methane engines to power our tractors?
So what we did was we actually took a production spec FPT 6.7 engine, which runs through a huge range of our tractors. And essentially, we end up with a petrol diesel scenario. So we add spark plugs and do a few other trick bits that is able to run on CNG, which is compressed natural gas. Now, of course, that can come from non-renewable sources, but it gets exciting then when it comes from the renewable gas or, you know, biomethane. That then is able to, it's able to become part of that closed loop system, and potentially, you know, how the gas is made and, you know, from which material it is, it's carbon neutral or even negative.
And not to make assumptions, what are the key drivers that's taking us forward with looking at engines, for example, that can be fueled with methane or other biofuels?
I would say driver-wise, there's a huge driver from the retailers, and also there's a massive driver from the consumer. We've had an awful lot of interest and spent a lot of time recently with, for instance, veg producers. The retailers are saying that people now are wanting to aim towards having a carbon neutral product if possible. You know, organic is something they love to see, and now also carbon neutral is. We've had crisp producers as well coming to us saying that, look, we need to start looking towards having a carbon neutral type product to be able to offer. Financially, yes, it depends on the source of gas. You know, if you're in the situation where there is an AD plant, whether it be a small farm AD or a large scale AD, absolutely. You are able to reduce cost versus diesel for sure. And then, as we mentioned earlier, it comes back to that whole farm cycle. You know, you are producing fuel that you're able to use off as a byproduct. You know, it's not like a biodiesel where you're growing crops solely to be able to just power something. You know, this is off the waste, off the back of it.
And how easily could farmers collect this methane on their own farms?
Beginning of this year, we actually purchased a majority stakeholder in a company called Benjamin. Benjamin have a cover system that go over farm slurry pits, or even if it's a digester, the digestate that is left over at the end. Sometimes there is secondary gas that can be harvested, a gas called fugitive methane. We can capture that gas. We can scrub it, clean it, compress it. Then the tractor can run on it. But one of the most exciting key bits about being able to do that is there is no reduction in power, no reduction in torque.
And Richard, how accessible do you think it will be for farmers, for example, in your local area, to be able to source that methane for their tractors?
Well, I think a lot of the dairy farms, it would be very, very easy for them to capture the methane from their lagoons. In Wales now, we're going into NBZ, so a lot of them are looking at putting up new lagoons to store the cow slurry. And if they're going to be sealed lagoons, it'll be quite easy for them to harvest that methane off those lagoons.
And Amy, if I can come back to you, how does using methane as the fuel for our tractors help us achieve net zero?
Well, I mean, it's completely dependent on what system you operate, really, because where Richard has been trying to reduce the intensity of his cultivations, he has been naturally driving down his fuel usage. But still, you're always still going to have fuel usage on the farm in any system. Technology is still evolving there. As part of the work we have done, I've mentioned about looking at the whole farm carbon footprint, but we've also tried to look at specific crops across the farm as well to see what is the fuel usage for different cultivation systems and also what the emissions are on different fields, for example. So just as an example here, to use one of Richard's maize crops back in, from harvest to 2022, which we have looked at, and this was one of the fields that we used for the event last week, so we have carbon footprinted that. So if we look at yield, dividing that by yield, which Richard has said is one of the main drivers for any farm to look at productivity, we're technically emitting 68 kilograms of CO2e per tonne. Now, that's just a figure out of thin air for a lot of people. When we compare that to the average, we are lower than the average, only just, but we are lower. That's mainly driven by, like I mentioned earlier, the drive to organic sources of nutrition. But also we're looking at ways that we can offset that with emissions as well. So we've also done soil organic matter testing on that specific field and tried to look at what change has happened over that cropping year or even more over a 5-year period. And if we try and weigh up what we're emitting versus what we're sequestering, again, we are net zero. And across the farm, we're averaging minus, we're sequestering about 50 tons of CO2 per hectare. So that's a huge amount of carbon. On this specific field, we've increased organic matter levels over a short period of time from 9% to 9.4%, which is the equivalent of around 35 tonnes of CO2. Sorry, I'm chucking figures at you now. But when we're looking at the impact methane tractors have in this situation, on this field in particular, the operations are contributing towards around 16% of their emissions. So if we do have methane tractors help drive that down, then you can automatically start to see that we can further reduce our emissions quite significantly if that's taking up 16%. So I think there is a lot of potential for this in the future, particularly where you have crops where you do have to use a more intensive system to establish them. There is a real place for methane tractors to help drive down on-farm emissions where it is unavoidable in some situations.
And if you would like to read more on Richard Anthony's carbon footprint journey, click on the link in the podcast bio and explore how the farm reached net zero. So, Amy, what I can see from the carbon boards that you produced for a recent iFarm event at Sir Richard's Farms was that you have fuels here as being over half of the CO2 emissions in terms of total CO2 emissions. So can you just explain what have you got within that bracket of fuels?
Yeah, I mean, so fuels is quite a wide category in some of the carbon calculators. And in this specific scenario, there is red diesel in there. There's also the wood chip that feeds the biomass boiler to dry the grain. So we have got different types of fuels in there, along with, you know, any gas that's used, any electricity that's used across the farm. So that is quite a wide category. We also have things in there, as you can see, crops. And a lot of people look at that crops category and think that's really quite a large emitter. Why is my crop emitting so much? And naturally, this confuses a lot of people. And what we tried to say and explain it in a really simplistic way is when you harvest that crop, it tends to leave the farm. So it's therefore not net sequestering on your farm because it's not permanently there. It's going into the supply chain and leaving the farm. So it will naturally be emitting because you're putting so many inputs into it. But generally, we are seeing across the site that fuels are the largest emitter, but that is quite a broad category there.
And George, can you just clarify, what is the reduction in carbon emissions with a methane-powered tractor?
Carbon out the tailpipe, carbon emissions reduced by 75%. Non-methane hydrocarbons reduced by 90%. Particulate matter, so like the black soot, reduced by 98%. Nitrous oxide reduced by 62%, and CO2 itself 10 to 15%. So yeah, huge, huge impact.
Right, so not just the pure carbon, but actually other emittants as well.
Oh, quite, yes.
So there really is a lot to win here, isn't there?
There certainly is, and one of the exciting things as well is the government introduced something called a Renewable Transport Fuel Obligation, an RTFO. That states that fuel suppliers that supply at least 450,000 litres of fossil fuel a year, they have to offset what they do. And that's in the means of RTFCs, which is the credit system. So anyone who's producing this fuel from waste that is then being dispensed into a road-going machine, which tractors come under, you're able to actually float the credits on the market and sell those credits to anyone who's producing a fossil-type fuel, as mentioned. So it can actually be quite beneficial for income as well.
And George, just to stay with you for a second, what are the barriers to this happening?
Infrastructure is the thing that's standing in the way at the minute. There is, you know, many things out there that are just coming to light. For instance, there's companies that will bring gas to the farm. There's companies that actually chill gas and they'll condense it, if you like, to be able to haul more. So it's really being able to get your hands onto the fuel. But as Rich alluded to, for instance, if you took South Wales as an example, there's so many dairy farms who are out there. Once they start covering up the pits, etc., because they're under huge pressure to do it by 2027 with some of the legislations coming in, I think that's going to certainly springboard that for sure.
And Richard, you know, coming back to you as the farmer here, what timescale do you think you're looking at for your farm to start adopting this way of fueling your farm tractors?
That's why we're wanting to look at that now, because we need to move in that way, whether or not that's for the biomass, our electric. We've cut our fuel use down by using wood chip for the grain drying. We're producing electric through an ORC for the grain drying as well. And we're in the middle of putting solar in at the moment to reduce our electric, bought in electric as much as possible. So the other one we got to look at is our fuel usage, our red diesel. And this is the obvious one to look at. And that's why we're moving down this road.
Sure. And as a farmer, I mean, over the last 2 years, you've seen terrific volatility in buying your inputs, fertilizer, etc. Obviously, you're moving away from having to buy as much in. But is this a way of giving some control back into the farmer's hands in terms of reducing that volatility so they've got more consistency in terms of looking at their costs?
Yes, it's got to be. But also, you've got to remember that, you know, this carbon offsetting, there's going to be a value to that. And we've got to remember that. And, you know, we're only just starting down that road. But, you know, you've got to look at it on a number of fronts. And that's what we're trying to do.
What was your message, Richard, to other local farmers or farmers anywhere in the country listening to this in terms of what steps can they start to take when it comes to thinking about this potential area of using methane to fuel their farm machinery?
Well, it's just have an open mind to it, because, you know, it's a lot of these things when you start down these roads, you've got to look what is out there. And that's what we're trying to do all the time, trying to move things forward. And I just think there's huge potential, and we're in some real exciting times now with a farm that things are changing at an ever-increasing pace.
Thanks, Richard. And for you, George, as a machinery manufacturer, what would you urge growers and producers to start thinking about, as Richard clearly is on his farm?
Yeah, I think it would be, as many farmers do, it would be look to the future, as I alluded to earlier. Part of the dream, I suppose, we have is to have an energy-independent farm. We've got, we've actually got cases now in the UK of farms that are starting to run also the methane on the electric side as well. So they're sort of beginning to head towards off-grid nearly, using the grid as a backup as opposed to the main source.
And Amy, to round off this podcast, what would be your key message to those listening today?
I really like the point Richard just said around keeping open-minded, actually. I think we have to start looking to embrace change where possible. And quite rightly, it's not going to be suitable for every farm, every different sorts of change, but certainly looking to embrace it and actually look into new things. And I think it really starts with, as I've said probably on every other podcast, is around getting a benchmark and understanding what changes you're making and what difference that's making to your business. If you are starting to make any changes or any differences, you need to understand what benefit that is having. So whether that's on net zero, whether that's on your productivity and finances, you need to start understanding what difference that's making. And I don't think enough of us are collecting that data at the moment. I think people need to start collecting data. We understand there are uncertainties of how accurate some ways of collecting data is, but don't let that stop you in that process.
Well, thank you, Richard, George and Amy, for a glimpse into how we can shape the future of farming. That's it for this podcast, but do tune in again as we meet the experts throughout the season, exploring the many immediate and longer-term questions for growers and farmers in the UK. If you have any questions you'd like us to ask the experts, email info@agri.co.uk. See you next time.